Hello, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 53 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And I got a very special guest here with us tonight for Saturday, May 6th, 17. We have professional wrestler CK with us tonight. How you doing, CK?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm more than happy to have you on here. I'm excited to do talk a little bit about all aspects of your career.
Right on.
All right, where I want to start is, we'll start from the very beginning here. How old would you say that you were when you first discovered pro wrestling and when the inspiration struck you, where you're like, ah, you know what? This is it. What it does to my life. This is my passion.
Yeah, I can tell you that pretty easy. I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I was at a neighbor's house, and at that time we were big into He-Man and that, and then my neighbor's dad had on wrestling. I'd never seen it before. And I remember it was, Ricky Steamboat. Now, this was pre-Dragon. This one wore the white tights. And, I saw him do a crossbody off the top rope, and I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. So at that moment, the He-Man figures, you know, screw Castle Grayskull and all that bullshit. They became wrestlers. And, kind of got hooked ever since. Never grew out of it. So here I am today.
It's one of those things that just stuck with you.
Just stuck with me, man. I remember my first live event was at the Joe Louis Arena. I think the main for the card was JYD. I remember Jesse Ventura versus Tito Santana. Ivan Putski versus Mike Sharp, Don Morocco versus Ricky Steamboat, versus Corporal Kirshner. I remember that show. Somewhere down the line, I was wrestling in Joe Louis against Hacksaw Jim Duggan for WWE.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of stuff back in the day.
Oh yeah. I worked, this is pre, recruit and all that. It used to be a phone call from, or Scott Moore saying, hey, they, played Cleveland and, say, oh, okay, sure. And I'd show up and was everything. To wrestling Jesse and Festus on SmackDown and Carlito and did a bunch of stuff. I was one of the druids at WrestleMania 23. You know, just some fancy and stuff. It was fun. I guys there. So I knew a lot of them too from just the indies.
Be a fun experience. Just hearing you talk has already got me in hooked. But where I want to go with you next here is all in love with the new. This is something that you're definitely going to be in. Finally, take that first step. Just getting into the business as far as going to training and. You know, tell us a little bit about that, and also, who were you trained by?
Well, originally, I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I waited till I graduated from college. So I started, probably when I was 22 or 23, started training. I was 23, I believe. And, I was trained at this, you know, I thought it was a reputable school in Toledo, you don't know. But I started seeing chinks in the armor right away when the guy started telling me, I'm not going to mention his name because I've since become, but we've, settled our differences, but at the time this guy was trying to sell us that he was in the WWE and did all this stuff, and me being a lifelong wrestling fan, I'm like, I've never heard of you. I was like, I've watched everything, and I've never heard of you. Turns out he just did enhancement matches. He only did like 2 enhancement matches, but he talked about it like, you know, he was a career guy. And, originally was trained there in Toledo. I could sell okay for being a greenhorn, and, I could bump, and, Brutus Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine. And then my second match was against Road Warrior Hawk. A very entertaining experience, to say the least. Hawk was at that time battling demons, and was not in the best shape to work, but man, did we have fun at the bar afterwards. he was a good guy for a little small chance. I got know him, but I trained there for a little bit. I was there for about a year. Left there because I just got sick of the, you know, I knew something was missing because we had other guys who would show up, particularly Briar Wellington, who does a lot with ICP, with Jason Juggalo's Championship Wrestling, Richie Boy Briar Wellington. And he was really good at the chain wrestling and all that, and I've always been fascinated by that. I was a huge William Regal mark, and I started working shows for free just to be able to cut a promo as Conrad Kennedy the Third, and then I started getting trained by Briar Wellington, and there I met a kid named Patrick Martin, and me and Pat became pretty tight. We became training buddies, and not long after that, Scott D'Amore of formerly TNA, and I think he's there now as a consultant, but he runs, you know, he has the Can-Am Wrestling Dojo in Windsor, Ontario, and he recognized that Pat was, you know, so long story short, he brought Pat over to Can-Am Wrestling Dojo, come train there. Joe Legend, and I was in the class right after Saban, but I was there with Shelley, T. Williams, Alistair Rawls, John Bolin, who's now my tag team partner, his poor child. And I just started showing up at Scott's. To this day, Scott calls me a mutt. Says I showed up on his doorstep, never paid him a dime to train, but they retrained me just because Scott liked me, and Scott's a great guy, and knew I was a good promo. But as he told me after seeing me for the first time, your promos are great, your work is shit, bro. Absolute grizzling shit. So they retrained me, taught me psychology, you know, learned a lot of chain wrestling, which is funny because now it's Crimson. I don't even lock up anymore. But, you know, 2 years after that, Scott sent me to Japan. I was there for a group that didn't last long, but still was a hell of an experience.
That sounds like quite an experience, you know, going through all this and, trying to make your way, you know, make your way up. And it's quite the moment, you know?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, like I said, I mean, I would love to get back to Japan. I was only there for, they literally flew me in for one show. And they were, Joe Legend was their champion. Petey Williams was their junior heavyweight. It was a group called Wrestle 8 Project. They were supposed to be bringing me back for a teacher versus student angle, me versus Joe Legend for the title, but I think they only lasted like 3 or 4 shows, and then they folded. So one of those things, I've encountered that a lot. Like, oh yeah, we got you for X amount of dates, and then the money changes, and you know, groups fold and what have you.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. When you're going through your training and you're going through the classes, putting the work in, putting the time in for guys or even young gals, you know, that are looking to get in the business right now, you know, and go through the training and go through everything to try to make it to the top. What is a little bit that you can educate some of the listeners on that might want to get in the pro wrestling business about training and how you got to dedicate yourself to this craft?
First off, I mean, are very slim. Everybody's trying to play for the same team. For the most part, I mean, of course you have TNA and Ring of Honor and there's some other groups, CZW and that, and, you know, I respect all of them, but, you know, to really make money, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, WWE, NXT, or Impact or whatever they're going by now. But, definitely get an education. I would recommend that to anybody. You have to have an exit strategy. You have to have a plan B. But after that, I would suggest finding a reputable school. Of course, I would recommend the K&M Dojo in Windsor, Ontario. People have the House of Truth, or I believe Rockstar out of Dayton has a pro wrestling academy. I'm pretty tight with the OI4K guys, Dave Crist and Jake Crist. Great guys. I've known them since they started. Love them to death. Dave Crist might as well be a cult leader. he's so entertaining. His philosophies on wrestling are absolutely fantastic, and he's just an unbelievably entertaining and out of the ring. The Ohio area. I'm outside of there. Just find a reputable, you know, your money to anybody who says they can teach wrestling, because there's a lot of shit. So find a reputable school and, you know, pay your dues, man. Set up the ring, tear down the ring, fly, or whatever they ask you to do, do it. It's all part of the biz.
Yeah, it's all about earning your stripes.
Yep.
Thanks, you know, getting in there, getting dirty, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like anything else, it takes time. You know, you're only going to get out of it what you put in. And it's not for everybody. There are times where I'm giving up through this, and then something great will happen, and you're like, oh, you get booked for this. This is cool. I'm back on it. And it's like anything else, man. It's a roller coaster. It's a love-hate relationship. Like Scott DeMore has always told me, pro wrestling, the harsh mistress that will never love you back. And it's true. I mean, it really is. You know, I mean, everybody who gets into wrestling is a fan, and they want to do their best to make it. They want to do it for a living. But the cold truth is that chances are you're probably not going to make a living. You might as well have as much fun as you can and travel as much as you can, just nothing else for the life experience, which is something you can't weigh in monetary value. And I've been fortunate enough to have, I've made some money, you know, I mean, nothing to live off of, but I mean, I've had some good paying gigs and, I've made a lot of friends, through this business. Probably the most notable, that I'm closest with would probably be Rhino. I traveled on the road with him for years. I don't talk to him as much now because he's really busy with the schedule with WWE, but, I'm super tight with him. I'm also really tight with Kevin Nash over in England. And, I still talk to Kev. We text at least once or twice a week, just shooting the shit. So.
That is awesome. That really is awesome. And, you know, I've heard from a lot of, wrestlers, pro wrestlers that I've gotten to interview. You know, and man, my few years doing this, a lot of them say that, you know, wrestling, once you get in good with some of the boys, it's, you know, it's like more than friendship. It's a brotherhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it is, too. I mean, like, and it's not all about wrestling. Like, me and, you know, like, me and Rhino, I mean, or me and Nash, I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of other stuff. We talk, I'm just coming off, in December, I just had shoulder surgery, so I'm just getting back into shape and out there as far as wrestling. I've got a bunch of bookings coming up, but I don't want to go too fast, you know, too hard to re-injure myself, so kind of taking it easy, but I mean, just little things, like after surgery, Nash called to see how, you know, I was holding up and what I was having done, and, you know, he had a similar surgery where I had, like, 3 out of 4 of my tendons in my rotator cuff were torn, and I had a detached bicep, and then come to find out Nash almost had the exact same injury, so he kind of commiserated about that, and, you know, Rhino's always good because, you know, cause when you're away from it for as long with an injury and, you know, you're out for, you know, 3-4 months and, you start to get depressed and, oh, Jesus, and, you know, what the fuck, when am I getting back into it? And, you know, Rhino has been, a hell of a guy as far as that goes. With, he's always, you know, giving me pep talks and stick with it and you can do this. And, he's actually, you know, trying to get me to, which I'm probably going to take him up on, but, he's trying to get me to submit a resume, for maybe something behind the scenes eventually, WWE, like, possibly like a writing position or something, which who knows if I'll get it, but, you know, something to think about. At least I got that contact. I have a few contacts there. I know Jimmy Jacobs really well and, good friends with Corey Graves, too. I was over in England with him. He's a great guy as well. And his wife, both are excellent people. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it is, it's, you know, once you get beyond talking the business, which you do talk the business because you love the business, but, you know, once you get past that and you actually get on a friendship level where you can talk about, you know, other shit going on in your life, I mean, it's pretty cool. If you would have told, kid that, hey, one day, you know, you're going to be on the road hanging out, with, at the time I was going to use Diesel, but not Kevin Nash. You're going to be, hanging out with, Rhino and, Roddy Piper and Jerry Lawler and X-Pac and, Kevin Nash and Aruba. I wouldn't have believed it. So it's just one of those things. I've been fortunate that I have a lot of contacts with, like, the bigger name guy, with some of the bigger name guys in the past and, you know, I've been able to make friends with them and, you know, like I said, I was pretty tight with Dreamer. It's funny cause, I'm name dropping like a motherfucker. You get advice from these guys, like, Raven. And what's funny is ask Dombrowski, me and Raven did not get along in the past, but now Raven, has been giving me tremendous advice, in the last year. He's turned out to be a hell of a guy, as far as just giving me advice. He's super smart. He's actually trying to get me to start doing my Crimson promos in Japanese. So I'm actually going to start trying to learn Japanese.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's just like stuff like that. He's like, you know, expand yourself. It makes yourself remarkable. You want to get back over to Japan? He loves my promos, so he's like, you know, do them in Japanese. Maybe he'll get over.
Hey, you never know.
Maybe it will. Who knows? Yeah, right? So,
Anything can happen.
Yeah, we'll see. There's going to be a Rosetta Stone purchase in my future, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's coming soon, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I want to get into this because this is something that I always ask people that are on the show. And, you know, it's curious, you know, sometimes the answers that you do get, but they're, it's always like a positive, it seems. When you got through your training
and all that was said and done. And then you finally got to get in the ring for the first time and have your very first match. First off, who was it against? And second of all, what did it feel like to walk that aisle for the first time and get in the ring, you know, knowing, wow, this is my first match. Everything that I've been dreaming about and everything that I've ever wanted, it's coming true. I'm here in the ring.
Well, it was absolutely surreal. It was me and a guy named Rip Malibu, who was a hell of a guy. I think he did a tryout with ECW and they actually liked him, but he was a bleach blonde, big dude, could move really well, but it was me and him in a tag team against Beefcake and Valentine. That was the very first match. So that was especially mind-boggling and nerve-wracking. It was surreal. I mean, I could be events as a kid where I watched these two and my very first match in front of a crowd is going against, these two. As green as fuck, you know, stepping in there. It was just like, you know, it was mind blowing. Cause I had a lot of friends and family there. What's funny is I didn't tell them that because there was a battle royal in the beginning I was in, but I told them that, oh yeah, Beefcake and Valentine, but I did not tell them I was in the tag team main event against them. So like both my brothers, were there and, they thought that was pretty cool. Neither of them are, big wrestling fans, but, they certainly knew who they were, but, you know, it was absolutely surreal. The funniest part about that was that, I was told not to chop Valentine, because basically you're going to get a hell of a receipt. Being green as can be, I mean, all I had was a punch, a kick, I could bump, and I had a chop. I mean, I really didn't have an offense yet. I was just there to be the bump guy. He called to cut him off, so I did, and I got him in the corner, and I chopped him, and I just remember Valentine just going, again. And then I hit him again, and then he grabbed me by my head, threw me in the corner, and hit me, so that was the first time I've got hit with a chop that hard. I thought my heart stopped. Me up a little bit because they knew it was my first match. Beefcake landed some stiff ones in, but they were cool. They took good care of me. But yeah, it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. I mean, there was just, I don't know about anybody else, but I mean, I certainly missed the match.
That's, you know, that's something that, and a good percentage. It's like you get in there for that first time. That's gotta be a feeling, man.
Actually, I mean, you know, I didn't really know psychology that well because the school I was at the time was dog shit. You know, it was, basically listen to the best I could, and that was about it. Got beat up. Got my hair cut by Beefcake.
Oh, man. you definitely earned your stripes in that first match. It sure sounds like it, and a lot of fun. I appreciate you sharing that with us here.
Yeah.
Now, you know, after you go through your first match and you start working your way up the ladder, the first time actually that I learned of you was in Prime Wrestling. When I saw you cut your first ever promo, you know, as Crimson, that was the first saw you on a, you know, on a TV screen. And I gotta say, the character resonated with me You know, I always loved the Crimson character. I was always excited to see what was going to happen when Crimson was on a TV screen, or what Crimson was going to say, or what he was going to do. But in Prime Wrestling, because I don't send you entered, you know, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling / Prime Wrestling. Did you enter? Mm-hmm. Did you enter as the Crimson character, or did you SCK, or how did that all go about? How did this whole Crimson character?
I had a Cleveland All Pro on TV on Sports Time Ohio, and I wrestled as. And then that went off the air, and then they came back with Cleveland All Pro, which later they came back on the air, and I've been gone for a couple of years. In that time, I wrestled. I was with Ring of Honor for a cup of coffee. I was doing jobs for WWE, and then I went to a TNA company, and Scott was pitching a bodybuilder by the name of Matt Duvall, who I out with. I was actually, he was kind of like a pet project. Owen, who was the first time TNA gut check winner there. And I think a few other guys, and to a very, very lesser extent me. He came out to the meeting, meeting with Terry Taylor, and I asked Scott, I said, you know, what'd they say? And he said, do you want me to be honest? And I was like, well, yeah. He's like, I brought up your name. Terry Taylor stopped me and said, if I wanted Colt Cabana, I'd hire him. I was like, oh, okay. And Scott broke it down for me. He goes, you need to make a choice. He's like, you've been doing this for 10 years as CK3, Conrad Kenny III. He's like, Ring of Honor hasn't brought you back. WWE wants you for jobs and nothing else. And now you know what DNA said. He's like, so you need to change it up. You need to think of something different. Now, at the time is right when the Dark Knight movie came out. And I have been a long-time, lifelong Batman fan. And, you know, obviously the Joker is a phenomenal character. So I talked to Joe Dombrowski, brought up the idea. He kind of liked it. Said, okay, we'll try it out. Wasn't sure where it was going to go. And at first it was way too Joker. It was, incredibly Joker. But I kind of evolved it, made it my own, started wearing the kilt, different face paint, that stuff. Started quoting, Voltaire and Socrates and Plato and other philosophers and authors and that, and to start off promos. And then it just kind of took off from there. I couldn't have done it. Like, I had to basically rework everything. I remember the first time Tommy Dreamer saw me as Crimson was in a show in Windsor for Border City Wrestling. And he watched my match, and I was like, what did you think? And he goes, I think I'm watching CK3 in face paint. He's like, you need to completely abandon everything you did as CK3 and be completely different. So CK3, I was a very European based. I did a lot of chain wrestling, comedy spots. I did a lot of moves just to do moves, which they fit somewhat psychologically, but you know, then I learned, after doing the Crimson character, I'm like, you know, it's my body now after being 10 years in is starting to wear down a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, we got to switch this up. I switched it from basically a very European chain wrestling type offense to a brawler, nothing but strikes. Even when I work with a guy, I don't pick him up. I tell him, like, look, yeah, I'm not going to pick you up. I'm not going to drop you on your head. But I'm safe. And that was it. I don't even lock up anymore. And what's funny is just when I help train guys, the ironic thing is the lockup is like my biggest pet peeve. You need a strong lockup, otherwise, like Dutch Mantel, Jeff Jarrett, Scott Moore will all tell you they can tell what type of worker you lock up. So I always stress a strong lockup, and the point is I don't even lock up. but I knew I couldn't, like, if I went back to the groups, because I was working a lot in Michigan, in Ohio that time, and I knew if I went back to those promotions and said, hey, I'm doing a different character, and the fans were going to shit on it because they'd be like, yeah, it's TK3. He's just grew his hair out in face paint. So I had to redo everything without Prime Wrestling and Joe Dombrowski giving me the opportunity, because without, I knew I needed TV, because without it, I couldn't get the character over. Because I said this, my promos are my high spot. You know, that's what gets you involved. Everything else is just, you know, dressing after that. But that's where the real work is my promos. And applying those to the match is what's key. So that's what I did. They used my backstory as, the backstory to me was that, you know, I used to be, Cleveland All Pro. I was gone for a couple of years. I lost everything to wrestling. My fictional wife left me. I've never been married. And took my, daughter with her, and, she calls another, you know, my daughter, I'm 3 years. She calls another man dad, all this horse shit I made up. But basically, like, wrestling has destroyed me, but it's all I have. So now I'm going to destroy everything you love, destroy everything I love. That's why we call ourselves the Dead Wrestling Society.
It was, I'll tell you, it had me hooked. Every time I'd hear you cut a promo, and I'd, you know, see you come out with Cursed or Gory, and just,
those guys, yeah, those guys were both, I still, Eric Ryan, I love him to death to this day. Completely underrated, awesome talent. Same goes with, Gory, still love him to death. Excellent guy, great worker. The only regret I have is that I didn't get involved with that group, because we just do a tag team called the Dead Wrestling Society, and everywhere we go, we just, be, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we kill it, because John's a maniac. He's a giant, strong guy, and he's basically the workhorse of the team, where he basically kills the prey, and then I come in and pick the bones. If you get that dynamic, it's I always put it in Batman reference. I'm like, we're the Joker and Bane. You go out there and destroy them, and I go out there and laugh at them and just kick them around. And phenomenal. We still do good everywhere we go. I mean, and it was a lot of fun. I loved working there. They great bunch of guys. The locker room was tremendous. You had, Johnny Gargano, obviously doing excellent stuff with NXT. You know, you had Matt Cross going in there. You had, Bobby Shields, Bobby Beverly, Nikki Valentino, who I love to death. Hilarious guy. Eric Ryan, obviously. Brian Gorey, you had, Vic Triliante, who's now under music, came real close. Boom, Nate Matson as the Michigan Invasion. It was a really great title. Brian Castle, the world most huggable wrestler, who's a really, really tight friend of mine. He actually lives with me. Super good dude. I mean, we just had a blast. I mean, it was so much fun. Oh, she was Ion. My God, how can I forget him? It was just, it was a really good group of guys. Everybody in that locker room was awesome. Yeah, they all were. And, I really enjoyed my time there.
And the endless battles, you know, that you had throughout, you know, I can remember two feuds very heavily, you know, that you had over there. I remember the feud with Jason Bane.
That was Jason Bane, man. He was mean as he is. He's as nice as he is. Great dude. Let me basically just paint the picture and, on with what I said. He was good would always draw up these elaborate matches where we on the news this and you know, break the mirror over I accidentally broke the mirror over Eric Ryan's head, and which sort of glass got lodged under his ear, which was we had the thumbtacks and all that. We had a blast. Good. I really loved working with Ricky Shane Page. He's tearing it up in CZW now. Great guy. We could be probably complete opposites, and same thing goes with Gargano. I remember watching as X Division as you can get. I think it was the same Resolution where I wrestled Jason Bain, and got to the back, and I hugged Matt and got like into a program with Johnny. And I walked up to Johnny and I was like, phenomenal match. I said, we're not doing any of that shit. and he just kind of looked at me and laughed. And I'm picturing more Shawn Michaels versus Mankind. I'm like, yes, keep that template. Yeah, that's a good one to go by. I'll be there to catch it. I am not as nimble as a Matt Cross. I think I've been on the top ropes maybe three times in my entire wrestling career, and they're all with. No, I think they're all with La Parca. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, you had a little. There used to be a group called out of Detroit called Revolucha, where I was the champion there, and I had a feud with La Parca and did some work with Mil Mascaris and Blue Panther and. That was a fun time too, but Prime was definitely the highlight by far. I mean, it was just so much fun there.
And it was just so awesome to watch, you know, just the way everything was. Like, I always found myself, and I kid you not, like, I watched it every Sunday night, of course, but I remember, I remember the weeks, you know, the Sundays when there was WWE pay-per-view. Right after the WWE pay-per-view, I'd switch right on over to Sports Time Ohio to watch Prime Wrestling. You know, I was raring and ready to go.
Yeah, no, and those guys, Joe Dombrowski, he put in a lot of time there. I know there was others, but, Joe busted his ass. I still do on occasion, but I just used to drive him nuts. With just little ribs, and for some reason I got everybody calling him Steve, for some unknown reason. If I was running late to a show, I remember one time in particular, it was, in December, and he needed me there early for pre-tapes, and we were running late, and, I was riding with Castle, and he's like, yeah, we should probably call Joe. So I called Joe and, told him I was going to be late, and he's like, okay, how late? When are you getting into Cleveland? And I told him, I was like, no, I'm in. In Cleveland, we're at the Christmas Story House, though. I really wanted to see that, so I was going to be late, which wasn't true. But I convinced Joe that, I was taking pictures of Ralphie memorabilia from A Christmas Story. Joe didn't find it as funny as me and Castle did, but, we got a good laugh out of it.
Now, I gotta ask you, because... for me as a fan, sitting there and watching Prime for years, I had my favorites in the company, which of course, were guys like you and Gargano and Matt Cross and, just all the main staples in the company, Jason Bain. And I remember, and I'll never forget it, when you and Gargano fought at Pressure Rising. And I believe that was in, 2013, if I'm not mistaken, 2012, 2013?
Something like that, yeah.
It was somewhere around that general area, and you guys fought at Pressure Rising, and I remember watching that match. And between you and Gargano, it's like two of my top favorites in prime at the time, you know. Gargano always was a fan of his, and, you know, just watching you and what you were doing with the Dead Wrestling Society, I was just, you know, so intrigued. And, you know, I was a big fan of yours as well. And I just remember the build up to the match. And I just remember watching prime, and I always remember, you know, like it seemed like you were always in, you know, trying to chase the title. Like you and, I think it was you and Cursed when you won the tag titles, Gory won the, TV title. And I'm like, you know, because Joe Dombrowski and Aaron McGuire, they would always say, you know, how the championships are being held hostage by the Dead Wrestling Society. I always wanted at that time was for you to get that world title so all the titles would be held hostage by the Dead Wrestling Society. It's like I waited for it, but Kane, even though you guys didn't have all the titles at once, you ended up beating Gargano and winning the world title. And, I gotta say, when that happened, I was really excited to see what you were going to do with the company's main title in your grasp, especially with the way the Crimson character was going and, you know, how being booked pumped. But if you just wanna walk us through that moment of when you finally won that prime wrestling title, because that was a special moment. That still, you know, sticks out in my head very vividly, even right now, talking about it.
Yeah, no, that was a cool deal they came up with. I believe the finish was, is that, I brought in a table and covered it with thumbtacks, and, I was going for a superplex, and Johnny, he reversed it, told me to go to hell, gave me a big shot. And I took the back bump through it. And then, he got the pin, and then somehow the commissioner, which was Evliante at the time, who was doing the heel commissioner, reversed it, on some sort of technicality. And then Johnny turned around and I misted him with the red mist and hit the witch's wheel. And that was definitely a cool moment. Just because it was booked really well, I thought. In the swerve at the end, it was one of those things where it's like, look, you know, my favorite wrestler as a kid was Roddy Piper, and I've never really put emphasis on titles because I kind of think of Crimson as more of an attraction. I don't need a belt. Mm-hmm. I think my character can get over just on promos and just being the creepy fucking weirdo that he is. And, it was nice, for them to kind of acknowledge that, hey, you know, you've worked your ass off. You know, you're one of the boys and, you know, we're going to let you, you know, take the strap for a minute. And, it was cool. It was cool. And, you know, and even when, I thought it was cool how they ended, you know, Resolution 6 was basically their swan song. That show ended with, me versus Rhino. Hardcore. And then I pinned Rhino and then I'm not a challenge around and I got up and Johnny hit me with a super kick and, got the pin. And so it was like, we all knew that was the last resolution. And it was just kind of a fitting way because Johnny being the hometown boy and, you know, you could see his star was on the rise and, just be able to, you know, John Wayne right off into the sunset with, Gargano, you know, sending the crowd home happy and, Johnny gave a nice speech about Prime Wrestling and what it did for him and all that afterwards. So that was fun. It was a cool deal. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, Resolution 6, that was a fantastic event. And uh, Rhino, because he powered back from Vic Trivilianti.
That was it, yeah.
Because it was, I think it was like matches that, you know, either the Megalomaniacs team had to win or Justin Labar's team had to win. And it just so happened Justin Labar's guys ended up winning, you know, their 2 out of 3 matches. And, Labar ended up saying that you're going to defend the title against, you know, this man right now. And he brought out Johnny, and that's what led to all that. I remember that so clearly, but it was just an awesome event. It was bittersweet because, I mean, really, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. I didn't want to see it go. I'm sure none of you guys wanted to see it go, but there was no other way for it to really end. I mean, it was a perfect note that it ended on.
Good, and I couldn't see a better way of it ending, you know. I mean, we at least did something. We didn't just fizzle off. It wasn't our biggest event. Like, it wasn't in Jacob's Pavilion or anything like that. But, you know, it was a nice crowd. We had a nice little turnout there. And it's funny. The funny thing is, going into that match, is I could barely walk. I did, because Rhino and I, the night before, did a hardcore match with Border City Wrestling. And I took a suplex on the concrete. Rhino, my call, he didn't want to do it, but I insisted he do it. And then, lo and behold, after, you know, at that time, probably 13 years of being suplexed on the floor almost a nightly basis, it kind of caught up with me. So, like, getting a lot of stretching, a lot of Bengay, and, you know, trying to get through that match. But, yeah, I mean, if it was going to end, that was the way to do it. You know, I mean, it was well booked. I mean, Dombrowski did a really nice, I know, like I said, I know he had other hands, a really nice job. They had a really, really cool deal going on there.
They definitely did. And, one afterward, you know, it's like I started thinking of these fantasy matchup scenarios, you know, that could have with, you know, certain superstars. And I remember going through, kid you not, when I really do mean this when I say this. The Dead Wrestling Society to me really reminded me of like a new age, gave that edginess, you know, to the show, and, you know, along with the pro wrestling. But it's like, I started thinking, Crimson go against The Undertaker, or, you know, like, even now, I would love to see you in a, you know, in a feud with Bray Wyatt. I can see Crimson and Bray Wyatt.
I've had a lot of fans. I was doing a promo for some group, and then I had gotten messages on a Crimson Facebook about, we'd love to see you against Bray Wyatt. And there was quite a few of those. So I said, what the hell? Promo on Bray Wyatt. You can find it on YouTube. I believe it's called Crimson Sister Abigail. The gist of it was, I think I ended it with, Sister Abigail's locked up in the basement. I'll give her a kiss for you. I got a lot of good feedback off that. But yeah, I really feel like Bray Wyatt in this character. Like the whole Wyatt family thing. I'm not sure. I'm trying to keep up on the current product. I don't get to as much, which is nothing but fault of my own, really. But I'm not sure what they're doing with Mlele Boyne. He broke in. I thought he was amazing. And a prime alum, Luke Harper, was with him. The Undertaker's his matches with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania are by far especially the one where Michaels basically knew he was defeated, crawled up Taker, and did the custom acting, and then got Tombstone. That was like one of the best moments. It was one of the most phenomenal matches ever. I actually borrowed from that against Jason Bain after I got thrown into the thumbtacks. I kind of crawled up him and then kind of started laughing and smacked him, and he hit me with the Bain line and pinned me. Yeah, I would have loved to work with either of those guys.
And I'll tell you, it would have worked. There's no doubt in my mind that it would have worked, because it's something about that Crimson character, man. It's special. You got a real special thing going on there with the Crimson character, because
it's... Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah.
It's unlike any other, you know, like you could kind of say, oh, it's kind of like Undertaker, or it's kind of like Bray Wyatt, but when all in reality, it's Crimson, you know, it's your own. You made it your own.
I did. I started off, it was way too Joker, but, you know, it was kind of like what Sting did, when he first came out as a Crow. I mean, it was just completely, acting like the Crow. But eventually he made it his own thing with me. I mean, I quit wearing the, vest and tie and changed over to the kilt, and then, started using the red mist and started wearing a hood to the ring, a la, Great Muta, who had an obsession with him, my entire life. I love the Great Muta. Now as a kid, I thought the mist was the coolest thing on the face of the earth, so that's why I still use it now. And I was actually, in Newfoundland, when I was wrestling for a group called Legend City Wrestling, Muta's proteges who trained with Scott, DeMorth, came wrestling dojo, who wrestled in TNA as Kiyoshi. Me and Kiyoshi were, actually the Dead Wrestling Society over in, Legend City Wrestling in Newfoundland. Which is funny too, because if you were going back to Prime, I never realized how far that went out. Like, I remember that when Johnny was over in Japan, I forget what group he was over there for, but, I remember him saying that he found it on satellite, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird, but I guess it is. I mean, it's in Sports Time, I know it's on satellite, but in Newfoundland, I remember signing copies Resolution DVDs.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, nothing really comes to Newfoundland. It's beautiful, beautiful island, but, you know, not much goes there. So, you know, and they do love their wrestling. So, I've done about 12 tours there. But I do remember signing some of those, and it was just like, oh my God, like, wow.
It had a long reach.
Certainly did, yeah. More so than I thought. You know, I just thought, you know, if you'd always get, not that I'm that recognizable without the face paint on, but, you know, people who knew me would, you know, around Toledo and that, and, you know, I'm part owner of a bar here in town. That's my shoot gig. And, you know, they'd always have it on, and, you know, I'd walk in to do whatever, and, oh my God, we saw you on TV. Yeah, awesome. But, I never realized how far it went. Which was great exposure, you know. I mean, it was awesome. Like I said, tip of the hat to Joe Dombrowski. I mean, without him, I couldn't have got Crimson off the ground. Just it wouldn't have worked.
It's, you know, and it's amazing that we're telling these stories, because just last week, you know, as I was talking about before we even went on air, Joe Dombrowski, he was a guest on the show, and you know,
Joey Dom Dom.
Love him. He was great. He was great. And, you know, just talking about Prime and talking about the characters and everything. And yeah, for me especially, it's incredible to talk about this because, you know, I'm from Cleveland. I've lived in Cleveland my whole life. And,
sure.
You know, I can talk to wrestlers, you know, from all aspects of the world, but I'll tell you, it's something special when you talk to pro wrestlers from, your hometown and that, where you can get this insight from, you know, a company that meant a lot, you know, to you as a fan and hear how much it meant to, you know, guys like you and Gargano and, you know, even Dombrowski himself, you know, who was, working behind the scenes with this.
Yeah. And it, you know, like I said, I mean, a lot of good things were spawned from there. You know, obviously, you know, Johnny's doing great work. You know, Vic is now with WWE. He's doing great work. Rhino's back there. Matt Cross is on, Lucha Underground. You know, Gregory Iron and Zach Allen are killing it as the, you know, handicapped heroes, you know, and doing great stuff. Eric Ryan is, become insane. But, he's taking bumps on Legos and stuff. But hey, man, he's doing awesome. Ricky Shane Page doing great in CZW. So, I mean, you know, and, you know, I'm still traveling around, still doing good. And, you know, and that's great. I mean, it was a testament to, the product that, you know, Prime Wrestling put out. I mean, there was just a bunch of great guys who worked their asses off. And, you know, it was an awesome time. It was probably my favorite time in the business was, the Prime Wrestling years.
And I'll tell you, it was some of my favorite years, you know, as far as watching indie wrestling, because I kid you not, it was something with Prime Wrestling that even though it was an indie wrestling company, like I felt like I was watching, you know, something that was, you know, competing.
A polished product, yeah.
Yeah, a polished product that was actually competing with WWE or something. Like great stuff.
And, you know, it was excellent. I remember I was going over for, 1PW in England. Originally, I was booked over there as, CDK3. And then, the promoter over there contacted me and said he'd seen the Crimson stuff. And he said, the hell with CDK3? He said, I want Crimson. Yeah, so they, formed a tag team with me and Rhino, and then we were a group called the Manhattan Project with our secret mouthpiece, which turned out to be Sterling James Keenan, or Corey Graves now, because he was like Elvis over there. They love him in England. It's ridiculous. But which was funny because it was horribly misbooked, because we're supposed to be these, you know, devastating heels who are bringing down the company, and you know, I've got Rhino, who's Rhino, so he's going to get cheered. And then you got Sterling coming out, cutting a promo how we're going to take down 1PW, and then you know the people are they love him. So we're supposed to be this evil heel faction, which two out of three guys are very well known and loved, and I'm just along for the ride, doing my you know creepy promos and what have you. And, well, we accomplished our goal, because as long as PW never ran again. But, no, it was fun. That was a good time. They were good. They were really good to me over there.
It sounds like one great ride down there.
What's that?
It sounds like one great ride down there, you know?
Yeah, it was fun. Like I said, that's where I first met Nash, and then, you know, he's boys with Rhino, so they're both Detroit boys, and then, Toledo's right on the border of Michigan, so, you know, we all kind of are familiar with the areas, I guess, and, a couple years later, there's Nash, bringing me to, Aruba, wrestled, and actually booked me in the main event against him in the No Holds Barred match, Roddy Piper in my corner, so.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool deal. Like, I had no idea. Nash had me do a promo for, TV over in, like they were running commercials and stuff. But Nash had me do a promo, about, going over there, to Aruba, and, I remember the day after I texted him and I said, how was the promo received? And he texted me back. He said, you're so over, you're facing me in the main. So I'm like, oh, awesome. And, it was great too because, it was the first time they had wrestling in Aruba in like 25 years. So, you know, they had the show was, it was like a 3-day thing. Whereas like the first night was just like promos. Or the guys, it was a tournament to determine the king of Aruba. And mind you, they haven't had wrestling in 25 years. So they, you know, they were happy to see us. And, it was like, I think who was all there. It was me, Rhino, obviously Nash, Billy Gunn, X-Pac, Scott Steiner, Sean Daivari, Scott Hall's son Cody was on there, Jerry the King Lawler was on there. X-Pac was on there. And it was just a cool deal. And like the first night of the tournament, I wrestled, had a good match with X-Pac and, hit him with my finish and did like kind of did some creepy stuff. And just work in the crowd, and then I like nonchalantly like laid on top of him to pin him, and he crucifixed me like on the ground and pinned me for 1, 2, 3, and then I laid him out with the belt, and then the main event was Nash versus Steiner, and then I run down and took out Nash, hit him with the ring belt, and then cost him the match against Steiner. So the next day, the final day of the shows. Roddy Piper brought me out on Piper's Pit, which was the most surreal thing on the face of the earth because he was like my idol as a kid. And I actually, kept in contact with Piper after that, but it was a really cool deal because, Piper and Nash kind of they had some heat in WCW, like real life heat and, which is, it's not really well known, but kind of well known. It was funny because, Piper did the Piper's Pit, brought me out and turned heel and said, I'm glad you did what you did to Nash, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden here comes Nash walking out. And then, he grabs Piper by the throat. I nail Nash with the chair, say it's going to be a Crimson School match. And then Piper starts laying the boots to Nash. Well, turns out, Kev told me later, he's like, oh yeah, no, he goes, that was a receipt. He was laying in. And Piper's just kicking the hell out of Nash's back for real. And then, the finish of that match, which Nash was very reluctant to do, but I called it, was to, give me the jackknife through, 2 steel chairs set up. And, we hit it. And it was all right. And then those damn the Ruben fans started chanting one more time.
Oh.
And like Nash, I remember Nash dropped his singlet and started grabbing my hair. He's like, you got another one in you, buddy? I'm like, well, you're paying me very well to be here. So yes. So I hitting me after 2 jackknives. And then what's funny is after the second jackknife, he took one of the chairs, which are now like completely bent, sat down in it, and just put one finger on me for the pin, which I was looking up at him laughing, going, you dick. But I've worked with Kev quite a few times. He's like I said, I've been with him over in England, been with him over in Newfoundland, Aruba, on the road, other times here in the States, so, we're pretty tight. He's always a good time. Always, he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. He gets a bad rap or whatever. I mean, from some people, but, as X-Pac told me, if you're one of his boys, which, he'll be there for you no matter what it is, so.
That's awesome. To have that kind of connection, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like I was talking about earlier, I mean, some of this stuff can't measure monetary value. I mean, you know, would it be nice to have a job, and, you know, not, not have a shoot job and be on the road wrestling 24/7, you know, 7 days a week? Absolutely. But I try not to think of it as, what I didn't get to do. It's like, well, look at what you got to do. You know, there are a lot of great guys who are far better workers than me that haven't done as much as me. And, you know, that's a shame, but, you know, so I've been really lucky. I really can't complain. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've had a lot of fun and, you know, not that I'm rolling it in, but, you know, I mean, if doctor came to me today and said, look, you know, you're, stack of dimes completely shot. You can't take another bump. You know, I would consider it a you know, success. I mean, I got through a lot of fun stuff and, you know, more than a lot of people got to do. So yeah. That's how you got to look at it.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like, life after prime has been, you know, pretty kind to you. You've still been able to go out and do what you love and, have some mm-hmm. great matches, you know. You can't
yeah,
beat
still,
it.
Still having some fun. I know, you know, I'm not sure what this year's going to hold for me. Like I said, I'm coming back, slowly but surely, but, you know, I know, the Chris brothers, I did a tryout with CZW last year and, DJ Hyde, liked my stuff. We haven't worked out anything at all. But I know that, the OI4K guys are, they've got my back and you know, putting the work for me there. And, so, you know, I don't know. I'm, just looking at other options. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to end up, but, yeah. You know, I've got some things on the back burner.
Yeah. It's one of those things you just got to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Well, I got a couple interesting questions here for you as we wind down to close out the show here. This first one, it might be a two-parter, you know, depending on what your answer is. I'll ask you both parts of the question. Now, if you could face any wrestler, you know, alive or dead, or, you know, what have you. Like, any wrestler that has ever laced up a pair of boots, which wrestler would you want to face in a dream match? And the second part of the question would be, out of any wrestler on the active roster today in any company throughout the world, which wrestler would you want to face more than any other? In a match?
I would probably say Foley. Mankind would be the dream opponent. And as far as on the roster, I mean, obviously I'll go WWE. On the roster there, that would be a tie. Either Bray Wyatt or Dean Ambrose.
Oh, those would be some good ones.
Yeah. It's and, a good, solid, you know, brawling style with some, you know, hardcore elements and that'd be awesome.
And I could picture you and Foley in a good, hardcore match. That would be something too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely some great picks there and, trying to think if there was anything that I missed, but I think I pretty much covered everything except for this last question here. And, you already pretty much answered, you know, what does the future hold when you said, you know, you got a few things on the back burner, but you're not sure what's going to happen. So I don't need to ask that question because you answered that for me. But, what I will ask you is, you know, being that you got to do all of this wonderful stuff throughout your career and, do what you've done. And it sounds like you still have, you know, plenty left in the tank when it comes to, when it comes to wrestling. It sounds like you're far from done, that you got a long way to go. Now that you're at this point in your career, what is your main goal of what you want to achieve? Is it the WWE or is it something else? Or, can you elaborate on that for us?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, as far as an in-ring performer, as far as, WWE, you know, I think that shit's probably settled at this point. I would love, to be, you know, an agent or part creative there, or even, you know, a coach would be awesome at the Full Sail at the, NXT. You know, something like that, something working behind the scenes would probably be the long-term goal. As you said, like, you know, I'm not quite ready to hang it up yet. Still got some, gas in the tank here and, you know, so, but yeah, that would definitely be the long term, is to work there in some capacity, like Jimmy Jacobs has done, and, he's been received real well there. I know he works a lot with, Jericho and Owens. So that would probably be the long term goal, or if not with them, although I'm pretty sure I'm a pariah there. Even, you know, Impact, doing something like that there, but, me and Impact have, not always gotten along over the years, so, who knows? They have a new regime in there, so never say never, I guess.
Hey, that's true, man. And it's interesting that you brought up, Jimmy Jacobs working with Jericho and Owens, because, Chris Jericho, he's my all time favorite. He's my wrestling idol.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that I've met him, but I've never talked to him, or anything, but, he seemed like an interesting guy. I know, Jimmy, works a lot with them. And this is just me, but, and I've seen Jimmy, since him. When I come into town, sometimes he'll stop by my place, just to say hi. When I knew he was writing for them, I started looking at Jericho and just little nuances like the scarf and that, because I've known Jimmy since, he was still doing the Red Bull Kid. I mean, when he was just breaking in, I mean, before Ring of Honor, before IWA Mid-South, any of that stuff, I knew Jimmy.
Oh,
and Jimmy's always been he's very into fashion, got his own style, got his own unique look. And I saw Jericho start wearing these scarves and stuff and how he presented himself. And I'm like, I remember texting Jimmy, like going, okay, is this your handiwork? Like, it felt like it was like Jericho doing a Jimmy Jacobs impression. And it turns out it wasn't. He said, no, he goes, look, he goes, he's into the same stuff I am. He's like, he goes, you could go into my closet or you could go into his closet and we probably have the exact same stuff. Like they're both that way. They're just really into, you know, their own style, their own, you know, unique fashion, whatever. So that was kind of funny, but, they seem to be a lot alike. So that's also probably why they get along so well.
That is really cool. That is really cool. Yeah. Wow. It's been a while since I saw Jimmy in the ring. I just remember the one match that stood out to me with Jimmy was him and Gargano at Resolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't mean for it to go back to Prime, but it's like,
right.
Every time I have a memory, it goes back to Prime.
Man, the zombie princess. What's funny is Jimmy Jacobs and I, probably, it's one of my, I wrestled him once in Michigan, small crowd, but it was one of the most entertaining matches I've ever had in my life. And I was wrestling a CK3. And, Jimmy was deathly ill. I mean, deathly ill. But him being the fucking nutcase he is and the road warrior he is, he was making the damn show. You couldn't tell him no. And he's literally freezing. Like, it was night. I think it was summer. It was early summer. And he's shaking and he's, you know, sipping orange juice. And I'm just like, Jesus, like, dude, like, I'm booked him against him. I'm like, I started, with Truth Martini was there. And, I love Truth. I've known him forever. Me and Truth started talking and I'm like, I had an idea about a match where basically the heat of the match would be just a promo. I was like, what if I just did that? Just the heat of the match was a promo. We went to a finish. And I called it the match about nothing. And, so we did it. Like Truth walked up to me and was like, I just talked to the promoters. You guys are doing it. So basically the match was this. Was I basically for the first couple minutes of the match chased Jimmy. Like I'd whip him into the corner, I would charge, he would roll out of the way, he would hook me for a schoolboy 1-2 kick out, I would charge him, drop toe hold, like just slipping on the banana peel over and over again. And the first offense I hit him with was my finisher, which at the time was called the Canadian Destroyer. Or not Canadian Destroyer, I'm sorry. Connecticut Destroyer. Canadian Destroyer is a flipping pile driver. This was a sideways half hammerlock, half stranglehold lung blower. And Bill Atlas actually took it to Japan and became known as the CK3. But I hit him with that. Was the first move I hit him with. And so, like, and he sold it like $1 million, you know, if you hit a lung blower right, and especially Jimmy being a little guy, the air, and it looks absolutely devastating. So after me just slipping on the banana peel, him just moving out of the way and making me look silly, the first move I hit is my finisher. And Jimmy's laying there dead. So I like walk up being the cocky heel I am. I kick his arm, he's lifeless. So I'm all cocky. I grab the microphone, I was like, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to apologize to all the Jimmy Jacobs fans out there because as you can see, Jimmy Jacobs is now dead. I would also like to apologize to all you Ring of Honor fans out there because I've indeed done away with Jimmy Jacobs. I would invite you to visit the souvenir, stand or, the concession stand to possibly grab a beverage of some sort and possibly a snack. I am now going to pin Jimmy Jacobs. I put down the mic, nonchalantly cover him. 1, 2, 2.5. Jimmy kicks out, and all of, you know, there was 100 people there being generous, but they popped like you wouldn't believe. And I grabbed the mic again, and I said, okay. I said, I immediately regret the decision not to pin him sooner. Let's try that again. So I hooked him in for my sideways lung breaker, the Connecticut Destroyer. Jimmy blocked it, hooked his leg, spun out, kicked me in the gut, hit me with the sliced bread, 1, 2, 3. And that was the match. The match about nothing.
Oh, man.
To the guys who were there, it was the funniest thing on the face of the earth. Seconded only by, I know we're winding down here, but I'll give you this story too, because this was tremendous.
Sure, go on. Go ahead, take your time, and it's no problem.
It involves some prime guys. It was a show for a group called Wolverine Pro in Michigan. And they had like Chris Masters was on the show, and they had M-Dog and Nate Mattson, Sterling James Keenan, I'm trying to think who was there, Eddie Benham, Josh Abercrombie, just a bunch of really good indie workers there. And it was at a roller skating rink. And they had a nice crowd there. I would say probably, you know, for an indie show, you know, you get over 100, you're doing pretty good. And Chris Masters was there because he was just off WWE. So there's a lot of people there. And the only problem was, is there was a ramp leading to the ring. The problem was, is that the ring never showed up.
Oh.
The guy called, was driving the ring from somewhere in the upper Michigan, and the car broke, the truck broke down. He wasn't going to be able to make the show. So we had no ring. I remember Chris Masters vehemently trying to get the promoter just to cancel the show. Like, look, you know, just live to fight another day, blah, blah, blah. And we were in a roller skating rink. So we were all joking around like, what if we did something on roller skates? So, and we're just all kind of laughing. Next thing I know, Josh Abercrombie comes back and he's got roller skates. He's like, yeah, go up and give him your boots. I'll give you roller skates. Let's do this. So we're like, what the hell? So the promoter comes out and cuts a promo saying, look, tell the crowd the truth. Look, the ring truck broke down. You know, I don't have a ring tonight. I'll be happy to give, we're going to give you a show. I'll be happy to give refunds, whoever wants them, blah, blah, blah. And right then, here comes me and the rest of the heels on roller skates out to the ring, right? And I grab the mic and I start cutting a promo on him and everybody else and, you know, just being an ass. And then here comes the faces on roller skates. So now it's an impromptu brawl on roller skates. And there's a ramp, right? So we're all just kind of fighting around on roller skates. And all of a sudden, we all started hearing clapping. Like you know, the crowd's clapping, like, you know, in unison. And we look up, and here's Matt Cross giving a look to all the boys like, oh, Jesus, please catch me. And he's skating down the ramp and just does like this pirouette in the air and takes us all out. And the crowd went nuts. After that, everything we did was something roller skating related. Every match was. I think Masters and Sterling James Keenan did a arm wrestling match on roller skates. Did a, me and I worked with Gutter, and we did a Rochambeau match, which is basically, you know, you're hitting each other in the balls. I don't know. It was ridiculous. But everybody did something roller skating, and the funny thing was not one person asked for a refund. And to this day, we still call that show Rink of Honor.
Wow.
Like Matt Cross still says it's one of his favorite shows of all time.
That is something, because I never heard of anything like it.
I was trying to get the promoter to be like, look, you gotta do this once a year. I mean, do Rank of Honor too. You know, I mean, like, so, I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, it was just like, you want to talk about making chicken salad out of chicken shit. I mean, we all have a ring. What are we gonna do? And the best part about that was the main event of that night was the only match not on roller skates, and it was Nate Matson, who is by far one of the greatest, most underrated workers to ever lace up a pair of boots. The guy's awesome. Love him to death. He can work with anybody. I've known him since I started, and I've had great matches with him, great feuds with him. Just an awesome guy. But him and Josh Raymond did a match on the floor, and it was absolutely amazing. One of the spots, which I've stolen gleefully, was Nate was face and Josh Raymond was heel, and Nate saw a dad and a kid in the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're on the floor. It's like Fight Club. There's no ring. So Nate grabs the dad, picks him up, and makes him run over, and they double clothesline Abercrombie on the floor. The dad had no idea what the hell was going on. Like, Nate's like, come on. And they just ran at him, and Josh took the bump. So Nate raises the guy's hand, obviously, you know, which is funny, you know, everybody's applauding for him. Then Nate grabs the kid and uses him as a foreign object and has the kid just start stomping on Abercrombie while he's got him under the arms, like hitting him. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Absolutely tremendous. And I as CK3, I've stolen that a lot. I mean, you'll never see Crimson. But, in my old character, I gleefully barreled from that. But, yeah, that was another fun show. I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but, Match About Nothing and Ring of Honor. Somebody told me that you can find Ring of Honor on, there's a video of it somewhere, but I've tried, I've never found it, but.
I'll have to see.
You get your hands on it. Boy howdy. Hold on to it.
I'll have to see if I can try to find it somehow. Oh, also, is there any video footage of the match between you and Nash in Aruba?
There was. I don't know if it's still up. It was called Caribbean Wrestling Bash. I know it might be under like CWB Day 1 or Caribbean Wrestling Bash Day 1. They were like highlights. They had like day one and day two. They showed almost all the me and Xbox match, but they just showed me getting powerbombed by Nash through the chairs. But yeah, I never got. After that, we were supposed to do. The group was called Bad Boys of Wrestling Federation. We were supposed to go to Chile, we even cut like. I cut promos for Chile, and Nash cut promos for Chile, Piper cut promos for Chile, and then at the last minute, you're going through the hills of Chile, you know, I mean, look at these wrestlers, there's no cell towers, so Nash being Nash, wanted to make sure we're completely safe and told the promoters, like, look, we need an armed American guard on the tour bus at all times, and they agreed to it. And then after we all cut the promos and that, they reneged on it because they said it was going to cost $80,000. So Nash was like, well, then I guess we're not coming. So that was the one time in Aruba was the last deal we did, but, man, what a time. You might be able to find that Caribbean Wrestling Bash footage, but, outside of that, I think there's pictures. I know there's pictures on the Crimson Facebook and, on my Facebook too.
I'll definitely have to take a look at it because I'd be very intrigued to see that match, especially after the story, you know, that I heard from you about it. So,
yeah, that was a fun deal, man. That was really cool. And like I said, I still have chills to this day. Because Piper sat down with me and, was like, now tell me about your character. What can I do to help you down the line? Like, what can we do to get a tape of this out there that can help you? Like, so I started telling him basically like my character and, I'll never forget. I'm sitting there waiting for him to announce me on Piper's Pit. And, he announced me, from the Broken Mirror. He is the leader of the Dead Wrestling Society. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pit Crimson. Like, I can still, as I'm saying it, I can still hear it in my head. I'm getting goosebumps. Because, it was Roddy Piper. I mean, he was essentially what I wanted my Crimson character to be. I mean, the Joker in a kilt, So, Piper was nice enough to, he actually recorded a video saying hi to my mom, which is also on YouTube. But, I actually stayed in, touch with him. Anytime I did a promo I really liked, I would send it to him and be like, hey man, what do you think of this? And he'd text me back with, his thoughts on it or whatever. And just a really good dude, man. I mean, he was about as class act as you can get. I was, really, really upset when I found out he passed. But, like I said, life experiences, he was always an ear for me and, as far as like, I'm not going to pretend I was like great friends with him or anything, but he was just a nice enough guy to take the time to watch my promos and, give a little bit back and, give his little advice on it and, or just tell me, hey, great promo. And that was just, that was the 8-year-old in me, seeking approval from one of my heroes, Hey, what'd you think of this?
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? That's natural. That's natural, man. Like, I remember meeting Hot Rod in 2011 and he was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I've been so blessed, you know, to meet certain guys that I've met. I've got to meet Kevin as well. And, you know, just so many of the guys are great. And, see, my main thing, how I meet the superstars is I've gone to WrestleMania every year since WrestleMania 27. So I've been to the past seven of them in a row. And, getting to go out there, and you know what, it even makes me respect what you guys do even more, because, you know, going out there and going around getting to venue and doing everything that you gotta get done in a course of a day just as a fan is, you know, a lot. And I can only imagine what, you know, you guys as performers, what you guys gotta get done. But I'll tell you, even though it takes, you know, a little bit of work, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, though. Just being around the world of pro wrestling and, you know, getting a chance to meet people that work in the business and talk with people that work in the business, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world to me.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny, too, because, you know, the word mark gets thrown around a lot, and it's like, who the fuck are we kidding? We're the biggest marks alive.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be if you want to do this. I mean, if you're not a mark, you shouldn't be out. You shouldn't be trying. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a certain amount of love, you know, to want to be a part of this. And.
Well, I mean, if you look, I mean, look at the guys, you know, on, who came up there, you know, came up through the indies, like Kevin Owens, like Dean Ambrose, like, you know, Seth Rollins and, Cesaro, Claudio, you know, I mean, those are all guys who, you know, and Johnny and, you know, a lot of those guys, those are all guys who busted their ass working their crap on the indies, you know. Making whatever they can, and you know, I mean, they didn't do it because they weren't fans. I mean, of course they're fans. They wouldn't be doing it otherwise. And they loved it, and they loved what they did, and they were awesome at it, and you know, they got to the next level, and God bless them. You know, but that's everybody. I mean, that's anybody who laces up a pair of boots. I mean, you're, you know, whatever, you can tell people whatever you want, but you know, you've got to be a fan to get into it. You know, we're the biggest marks of all.
and I gotta tell you, you know what an honor it's been, you know, to sit here and to be able to, talk with you and, you know, hear a lot of wonderful stories. I mean, like I always tell everybody, you know, that I've been on here with, you know, any interview and any stories I get to hear, you know, just each podcast is like a dream come true for me. You know, I have a lot of fun with this, and
that's good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna keep it up, and if you know what you're doing here, and you got a good little thing going, so best of luck to you keeping this going. But I definitely got the gift of gab, so I know it's kind of running long.
I loved everything, you know, that you brought forward, and I'm sure all the fans did as well, and just getting to hear, you know, some stories, some great wrestling stories, you know, it means a lot, especially when you're taking the time. So I definitely want to say on behalf of, you know, my fans and even behalf of myself, you know, thank you, and we all really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, man. It's good. It was fun to get on here and have a chat with you, and I hope everybody listened and enjoyed it. And promoters or fans, if they want to get a hold of me for bookings or whatnot, you can get a hold of me on the Crimson page or Justin Carnes on Facebook. Yeah, man, it's been real.
Do you have I know you said you know you're coming back from a shoulder surgery right now. Do you have any bookings as of yet, you know, where you are booked that you'd like to advertise to get people to come out there and see you, or nothing has been finalized as of yet?
I've got a lot of stuff. I do a lot with a group called Pro Wrestling Rampage out of Erie, Pennsylvania. Great group out there. Check them out if you haven't seen them. I've got some stuff coming up in the Cleveland area, for Dombrowski's group. We just have not completely finalized everything yet. And then, another group, I would say check out, the Crimson Facebook page, because as soon as all this stuff is, finalized, I'll be posting it up there.
It's all good.
I've got a lot of horses and fire.
Oh, I understand. And, I can't wait to, for you to get back out there and, start, working in the ring again. And I'll tell you, it's going to be something when you finally get back out there, especially overcoming, shoulder surgery and getting back in there and getting, your feeling back, but I'm sure you'll have no problem.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm hitting the gym harder than ever and getting back in shape and doing 5,000 reps of jump rope a day and working out with steel maces, kettlebells, all that good shit. And, trying to, be bigger and better than ever, so.
All right, man. Well, one final question that just came off the top of my head, but you may have answered it. I don't know. Let's see. I know you spoke of that, Jimmy Jacobs and, yourself, the match about nothing was, one of your favorite matches, but, I'm curious. I was just going to ask you, was that your favorite match or do you have a favorite match that, that you have? Your all-time favorite match.
It would be tough to, as far as like storytelling and that, I loved what I did with Jason Bain. Rhino, and this is one of Rhino, which was a huge compliment for him. He told me it's in his top three cage matches of all time. But me and Rhino did a cage match in Toledo, which was phenomenal. I believe it's a rough edit, but I believe that's on YouTube, Crimson vs. Rhino in a cage. That would probably be one of my favorites, just because it was in a cage match. Rhino loved it. I loved it, and I've wrestled Rhino, so many times, and we were on the road for years together. So, it was cool having a match with one of your boys like that. I don't know. The deal I did with, like I said, these are not necessarily, technical masterpieces or anything like that, but as far as like fondly looking upon, me versus Rhino, and the deal I did with Nash, wrestling Kevin Nash in a hardcore match with Piper in my corner. It's hard to beat as far as a fanboy in me, but, it'd be tough to narrow down, but those are, definitely ones that stand out.
No, those definitely sound like some great matches. Great mm-hmm. matches. And, I look forward to seeing, what other, matches and memories you're going to be bringing to us in the future. And, I just want to say on behalf of myself, and I'm sure I speak for, other wrestling fans out there as well, I want to say thank you for your contribution to the pro wrestling business, for putting your body on the line night after night for, well over a decade for the sake of our entertainment.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
And you got a lot more. You got a lot more matches within you, and I can't wait to see what Crimson's going to bring to the table.
I got one or two more runs. I got one or two more runs in me, for sure, if not more.
I'm excited to see what it's gonna be. And I remember when I was talking to Dombrowski last week, he was talking about his promotion, Premier Championship Wrestling, PCW, and I know you mentioned that, you may have, you know, some things coming up with Dombrowski, and I want to come out and try to catch a show over there.
Yeah, no, he's got a good thing going on over there. Is that, you know, Turner's Hall there where JT Lighten used to run the, you know, Cleveland, pro wrestling legends, JT. And, yeah, he's got a good group of guys. He's got, these kids, called the Toga Brothers who do some excellent, promo work. And, they got some really, really neat stuff, really young kids. But they're good guys. I'm kind of looking forward to kind of mentoring them a little bit. So they got kind of the same creepy kind of vibe. They're paired with Glory. The Premier Championship Wrestling, yeah, I've only been to one of their shows, but, I had a lot of fun there, and it's Joe, so, you know, Joe's a great guy, and, he knows what he's doing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to working with them in the future.
And, I'm looking forward to hopefully going out and, you know, catching a show one of these days out there, and, you know, hopefully I'll see you and Joe down there. When I do, chance to make the trip. But, yeah, I think we pretty much about covered everything solid. I just want to throw it to you, CK. If you got any last things you want to say to the fans or anything that you want to promote as far as your social media again, feel free to do it. The floor is yours, my friend.
Support indie wrestling because you never know when you're going to see one of these guys coming up, one of these kids coming up, you know, on the national stage. You know, I remember, you know, wrestling with, not against them, but I remember wrestling on shows with, Seth Rollins and Austin Aries and, Chris Hero and, Cash Azona now and, you know, in front of a crowd of, 30 people in Olytic, Indiana. So, I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Please feel free to, spread the word of the Burning Church, the Dead Wrestling Society, and Crimson. Any promoters are out there who'd like to book me, please contact me on Justin Carnes on Facebook or, through, the Crimson, Facebook page.
All right.
That's it, man.
Perfect, CK. Now, while I sign off here with the live audience, can you hold on with me for just 1 minute while I say goodbye to the audience, and then I'll be back on the line with you in 1 second? All right, perfect. I'll be right back on with you, and I just want to say to the live audience, thank you guys very much for tuning in to episode number 53 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast with CK. It's been a true honor to have him on the show tonight, and had a great time just talking about some good old prime wrestling memories and, you know, all the great matches that he's had. So I want to say another big thank you to CK for being with us right here tonight. And, same here with all of you that, watched and listened tonight. Thank you. And I will be back next week with episode number 54 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And hey, hopefully, sometime soon, maybe we'll be able to have CK on again in the future. And, another big thank you for him being here tonight. And, what a show for Saturday night, May 6th, 2017, episode number 53. I'm Big T. I will talk to you all next week, and you have a great rest of your weekend and a great night, and I will talk to you all very soon. Good night, everybody.